Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
Arbeiten bei Mainova, da steckt mehr dahinter. Wir suchen technische Fachkräfte wie Sie, die bereit sind, mit uns Großes zu bewegen. Als führender Anbieter für Energiedienstleister aus der Wirtschaftsmetropole Frankfurt bauen wir bei Mainova die Energieinfrastruktur von morgen. Wir bieten Ihnen ein attraktives Gehalt, inklusive Zusatzleistungen und vielfältige Weiterbildungsmöglichkeiten. Jetzt bewerben unter mainova.de/karriere.
Hi, Mabel. Morning.
What a lovely morning. Isn't it beautiful?
At the gates of St. Patrick's Primary School, groups of children in blue uniform wave goodbye to their parents and hello to their head teacher, Rachel Harper. They jostle their way into the modern bright buildings that surround the shady playground. The children here are getting used to visits from reporters. The school has been on the news in Canada, the US, India, France, Spain for a trailblazing initiative that taps into a heated global debate, whether smartphones are damaging young people's mental health. And the school's initiative is now being copied in communities around Ireland and in other countries. I'm Beth McLeod. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. For this week's assignment, I've come to Greystones, the Irish town that made headlines a year ago when all eight of its primary schools invited parents to sign a voluntary pact or code, not to buy their child a smartphone before they move up to secondary school, which in Ireland is usually at age 12.
So yeah, we could see phones creeping in actually in a very small way with 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds, you know, very small, but in a big way in fifth and sixth that they would be, you know, kind of 10, 11, 12. And I suppose with that came then the children started going on WhatsApps, you know, and we were as teachers dealing with kids being left out or kids being upset.
A recent major survey found that by the time they leave primary school, nearly 3/4 of children in Ireland have their own smartphone. And a smaller poll found that a quarter of 6-year-olds do.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. What is your task that you're doing today? So tall. What would rhyme with tall, Toby? Ball.
The school has 400 pupils aged from 4 to 12. On a tour with Rachel Harper, groups of 5-year-olds sit huddled around worksheets. Outside the window, some older children play a boisterous game of volleyball over an improvised net, and the school hall is being used for a music workshop.
Ready, steady, off you go, everybody.
Double, double.
I could see the children, not all of them, but some of them were becoming very anxious, didn't want to come to school, there was tears, you know, that separation anxiety. And then speaking to teachers, they were saying to me that they had never seen the like of it, you know.
What made you so certain that the increase in anxiety you were seeing was due to technology rather than other factors?
We found, and as a group of principals, that they were just growing up so quickly and would all agree this childhood is just getting shorter and shorter. We found like we would have had second class going swimming and what they would be around the age of 8 and 9, and already they were very body conscious. I certainly wouldn't have seen that a couple of years ago. Kids were a lot more carefree that way, but also some of the content that was coming into the classroom, some of the language that was being used as well in the classroom. We were thinking, oh, kids are accessing a lot more online, maybe that their parents are aware of, or that they should be for their age.
When you talk about this idea of childhood getting shorter, what exactly do you mean by that?
Parents, they're terrified of kids climbing trees or climbing walls or, you know, being out and about. But then online, they're handed a device and at the click of a button, they can just reach really adult content, like way beyond their years. And that's the scary thing. You know, as a parent recently said to me, you wouldn't let your child open the door to a room full of strangers and leave them in that room on their own. And unfortunately, that is what's happening when they have a smart device.
Rachel Harper says that although she was nervous she might be told to mind her own business when she suggested the idea, the response has been almost universally positive from parents. Before the code came into force last year, she says that nearly all the children in their final year had smartphones. Now only a handful do. It's created a new normal. This 9-year-old pupil, also called Rachel, says that it's been well received amongst the children too. At least mostly.
I heard 6th and 5th class, when that came up, they got a little bit angry, tiny bit.
So those are the older children,
because, yeah. Yeah, basically 11, 12.
But the younger ones now don't have an expectation of having a phone.
No, I haven't really heard anyone from, like, our class or younger, absolutely nowhere I heard, saying they want a phone.
So do you feel like you're missing out on anything by being at a school where smartphones are discouraged?
Actually not, because you're missing out on something when the whole school has it. When no one in this county has it, that means you're not missing out on anything.
I really want to emphasise we're not against technology. We have interactive boards, we have tablets that we bring in for the kids to use throughout the day, and we know that technology is a huge part in the modern world and also in children's education, but it's their own personal tablet, their own personal smartphone. So we feel, look, if they have internet time at home, that it should be monitored, that it's a family iPad and that parents can just keep checking in.
At pick-up time, children pour out of classrooms. Some parents linger in groups chatting while their kids tear around on the grass. Many I speak to say they feel a sense of relief that they now don't have to choose between buying a smartphone and leaving their child socially isolated.
With my daughter, who's 11, I have no pressure because none of her friends have a smartphone. So they've no phones at all. And it's just, I think it's just fantastic. I'm delighted it came in and I think it's working really, really well.
Several parents here say they can still keep in touch with their children by using basic phones that don't connect to the internet.
I have a 10-year-old. She's at that age where she's looking to use my phone all the time.
How did you feel when the idea of the voluntary codes came up?
We were on board with it. Setting up of social media accounts is more of the issue for me. So
why?
The social media is where the kids can get bullied online. They can have access to people that they shouldn't have access to. Whereas the phones themselves, if they're policed properly by the parents, it's not as much of an issue, like you can set the protections on them.
That distinction between smartphones and social media is one I hear a few times. The head teachers in Greystones say what they discourage is children owning a personal smart device with access to the internet. Parental controls can be set, but they can also be outmaneuvered, as can controls set by the tech companies. Most social media apps require users to be at least 13, but in a major survey of 11-year-olds in Ireland, just under half were on Snapchat and TikTok. It's a really lovely spring day, and there's quite a few people down on the town beach. Despite a fairly cool breeze coming in off the sea, quite a few swimmers are out breathing the water. Just round the corner from here is the town's marina, and beyond that, up to the north, you can just about, through the haze, see Dublin. With the capital just a short commute to the north, Greystones is a highly prosperous town and was recently named the most expensive place to buy a 3-bedroom house in Ireland outside Dublin. There must be about 70 people here gathered in this rather echoey sports hall in St Kevin's School. Rows of collapsible chairs have been set out, facing a lectern which has been placed directly underneath the basketball hoop.
Each of the town's 8 primary schools takes it in turn to host a talk for parents every month about children's well-being. Tonight, it's about what happens beyond primary school. Despite the success of the voluntary code, most young people here still get a smartphone, and with it, access to social media, when they start secondary school aged 12. Some parents are starting to question whether that's still too early.
Just been told by my teacher boyfriend. I just want to welcome everybody tonight.
Rachel Harper introduces tonight's speaker, Owen Cleary, an assistant head from one of the town's secondary schools who coordinates personal, social and health education and has just co-authored a new textbook on the subject.
I have the privilege of working with teenagers every single day. They're going through the most difficult period of being a child or being an adolescent on the planet.
He talks about why social media is so addictive for young people.
As soon as a social media company realises that a child is a female, they bombard her with all of the things they know she's going to click on more. As soon as YouTube realises I'm a 40-year-old man, all I get is Viagra ads. And that's just... And it's very sad because it wasn't always...
And inevitably, the subject of online porn is soon mentioned.
Our students, your children, have 24-hour access 7 days a week to the most violent, most degrading, most misogynistic thing that I guarantee you, unless you're a porn user, you cannot imagine. We have to stop thinking about it in terms of our kids accessing the internet. We need to start thinking about it in giving the internet access to our children on the bus, in their beds, in the school toilets, in their pockets, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Lots of the parents start murmuring to each other. It's clearly a new way of looking at it for many people in the room, including me, that this is really about giving the internet access to our children and not the other way around. And he says access to hardcore pornography at an early age is affecting young people's real-life relationships.
My 16-year-old students have all made lists of what they thought was assumed of them in a sexual interaction and what they also thought was assumed of the other sex. So for our male students, they expect to chase the woman, to slap and to choke her, to be dominant, to be aggressive, to be in control, to know what you want, and to be with as many as possible. For women, for my female students, it's to be submissive, to be kinky and to be slapped, choked, to do what he says and to do what he likes. I appreciate that it's shocking. You only have to hear it coming out of a near 40-year-old's mouth with a dodgy haircut. I hear it coming out of my 15 and 16-year-old students' mouths every fifth week. It's upsetting. I go to the chaplaincy office afterwards and generally get upset. They talk about it like it's making a sandwich. It is not shocking to them.
But there is a palpable sense of shock in the room. I ask a few parents for their reaction as they leave. Isolt is a mum of 3.
As much as I would like to think that I'm up to date with keeping my child safe and secure on the internet, I was shocked. My 14-year-old does have a phone, and as much as I don't like her having it, she would be isolated if she didn't have it. So if I'm going to give it to her, I think the message that I heard today was, you know, it's not your child having access to the internet, it's really that you're giving the internet access to your child. So we need to step up as parents. Those statistics, if you were to see them, are really shocking.
I'm sorry. No, you seem upset. You know, it is upsetting.
It is a bit upsetting. It's more than a bit upsetting. It's very concerning. And to hear him speaking so passionately and the great work that he's obviously doing with his students, but to hear the hardship that they're going through at such a young age, it's not fair. So we need to step up.
The next day at Temple Carrick Secondary School, a new building nestled beneath green hills on the edge of town, there's a bit of a party atmosphere. Some pupils have embellished their grey school uniforms with crowns and glitter. As Owen Cleary explains, it's the last few days for the final year students before they go on study leave for their exams.
The talk last night.
Yeah.
You could see from the reaction in the room, it was shocking to a lot of the parents there.
Yes. Because I'm kind of in it, and I'm doing the work in it, and a lot of the people I talk to are aware of it, I'm still surprised that parents don't know that these things are going on.
A lot of parents might listen to what you're saying and say, this is alarmist. You know, I know my kids, we talk about things, we have controls in place in our house, we're on top of it.
It's not alarmist. It's the truth. We've got to stop thinking about it as what your child would or wouldn't do. It's about the internet having unfettered access to your child and your child growing up in a culture where, by no fault of the parents, there is a culture where they know this stuff is not okay to speak about.
I asked him what he thought about the primary school smartphone initiative in Greystones.
It's an absolutely brilliant starting point. It can't be the be-all and end-all. But, you know, we are living in a very affluent community and it takes, you know, strong parent engagement and strong parent involvement in communities that I've spent a lot of my life working in, very marginalised communities in Dublin and Galway. You know, that parent engagement isn't there. It's not because the parents don't care about their kids. It's because they don't have the wherewithal to be able to engage with this kind of thing. So I think it's a brilliant place to start, but really it's unfair that it has been necessary in the first place. Government needs to step up and take control and protect the children. In our constitution, all of the children should be cherished equally.
Come in. We might create a bit of a circle, will we?
A group of Owen Cleary's senior students have agreed to speak to me. There are 12 of them, all aged 17 or 18. Perhaps it's because they've built trust by discussing this issue with Mr. Cleary in this classroom before, but they surprise me with their openness.
When you're studying, or even if you're just eating food, and your phone is right there in your pocket or on the desk or whatever, it's so easy to just pick it up and go onto your favourite app. You think you're entertained by what you're watching, but really you're just, it's addictive in the way that they show you videos, like the For You page on TikTok. The algorithm is specifically made to show you videos that will keep you on there. Like myself, I'm actually ashamed. Like, I would be on my phone pretty much every spare minute of the day.
I don't know, like your day, like just hours of your day just like disappear. You can't remember the last three videos you watch. It's just like enough to just like stimulate your brain enough so you're not bored, but like not enough that you like are actually happy or like anything, you know. It's horrible. Like,
it's, but you recognize that feeling. You recognize that's what it's doing to you.
Yeah, and like you can feel it afterwards. Like it feels like you've been hit by a train or something, like in your head, not like actually, you know. Yeah.
From your experiences, what age do you think is the right age to have access to social media?
I think it should be 16 for social media and not for smartphones, because when we were at that age, so much bullying and really harmful behaviour, particularly just as a girl, I know between girls happened at that age. It's really, really just so damaging, the like beauty standard that's put on there. And I think at age 16, you have more of a sense of self and your individuality. And I think girls can feel the pressure to be a certain way and to look like grown women when they're just 13, and really it's like kind of like their childhood gets taken away from them a little bit when they're exposed to it.
Yeah. You've got your hand up.
The massive amount of horrifying content online that I don't think most people should ever see, being at such like an age like 13, it's just not right to have them have access to that kind of thing. So I think it should be delayed to at least 15 or 16. But even then, I think it would be hugely beneficial to push it maybe even to 17.
I'd say it's more of the fault of who's putting that information on the social media. And it's not the age that people are seeing it. It's that it shouldn't be there in the first place, and that media should be regulated, not that we should be restricted from being on it. And I also think that putting it at 17 or 16 is unrealistic. And I've learned a lot from social media. Doing on the devil's advocate side, mm-hmm. I'd say that it can help you as well, like understand yourself and like see that other girls are facing the same problems, yeah. And that you're not alone.
I was just going to say kind of, I would disagree with you. You know, I think social media creates false connections with others. I don't feel like I get any real form of genuine connection or understanding with other people when I interact with them through social media. Social media has kind of changed the way, particularly our generation, interact with each other. And I think that will have a huge impact on our development. I don't think we'll quite see it yet. You know, maybe 10 years from now, we'll see the impact of that.
Yeah, I mean, building on that, like this kind of age group and a little bit older are kind of like the guinea pigs of what's come out of social media. Protection will be put in place, hopefully, for younger kids now. But I mean, it took this for that to happen. It's almost unreasonable to kind of be, what's the word? Like, angry that we didn't have it in the past, because how would we have?
Owen Cleary has been sitting in the circle, listening intently to his students, but can't stop himself from interrupting at this point.
I can't believe how understanding you are. I just think it's ridiculous how calm you are and understanding about the fact that you've been experimented on by tech companies who are making money off you since you were 12.
That's life.
That's life. That is
life. Getting exploited by, you know, big companies.
That's life.
That's life.
That's grim.
They leave for their next class. Six younger students come in, all aged 14.
Do you think your parents know the sorts of things you do and see online? Are there things that you have seen that they might be shocked by?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of very gruesome stuff and unfiltered stuff on the internet, and if you do witness that, it can be genuinely fairly scarring.
Live executions, people being like killed, which is like, no one should really be seeing that like at all online.
And you guys as 14-year-olds, have you seen videos like that?
Yeah. They get like, on group chats, like someone might put them in and it's like nearly like a flood stream, like everyone's putting like gory images or
even like
explicit images, like sexual images as well. You'll see them most days in group chats and things.
Most days?
They just pop up in group chats a lot. Like,
do your parents know those images are coming onto your phones?
No. They don't probably don't understand like the extent of the images that are being spread around.
Do they all keep an eye on your groups? Do they see what's coming in? Do they check them?
My parents do, but with Snapchat and all, like, they just, like, all your chats disappear after, like, 24 hours or an hour within seeing them. Things are getting normalised that shouldn't, like, no one should be exposed to.
Wow. Mm.
They know what it's doing to them. And they know that they don't have the wherewithal to be able to look after themselves on it. I find that really upsetting. Like, yeah, it's coming down the line. Things are changing. Laws are going to be put in place. But these kids, those kids that we just had sitting in here, they have been failed. And they are in the really privileged position of being in a school that is talking about this. Lots of schools aren't. We are failing them utterly.
I've left Greystones behind now and have had a lot to think about from what the young people said. And just coming into Dublin, I can see up ahead in the distance some cranes in the part of the city that's been nicknamed Silicon Docks, so-called because a lot of the big tech companies have their European headquarters here. So companies like Google, TikTok, Meta, which of course owns Facebook, Instagram and WhatsApp. The digital sector has really become a very important part of the Irish economy now. Meta has responded to criticism of its apps by putting new policies in place to help protect teens from seeing harmful content. And other apps like Snapchat and TikTok say they provide parental controls so young people can use them safely. I'm heading to Leinster House, the seat of the Irish Parliament, to speak to a member of the government who's leading policy in this area.
Stephen Donnelly, and I'm Minister for Health.
And you're also a Greystones parent.
I am. I've got three boys, all of whom are in school in Greystones.
So you must have heard about this voluntary code initially then as a parent.
I heard about it from both sides. I heard about it as a parent, but actually I heard about it first as Minister for Health. There is profound, profound damage being caused to children all over the world by social media, by certain types of mobile phone use. Their frontline clinicians are telling me, yes, we are getting much more referrals into mental health services. We're getting much more referrals into emergency departments, self-harms, eating disorders, particularly younger women and girls.
And can you be sure that that's to do with smartphones and social media? Could that be other factors, you know, poor economic conditions, climate change?
I think we just need to not entertain that argument. Are there lots of different things that affect children's lives? Of course there are. But I believe it is irrefutable at this point that there is a direct causal link between the horrific stuff we're seeing on social media and very significant and widespread damage to children. And I think anyone at this point who's trying to argue, well, if you look at the regression analysis, you could argue some hypothetical, they're just not living in the real world.
So given that damage being done, do you think it's fair to leave it to teachers, to parents, to do something about it?
This has got to be a whole of society thing. And two important things have happened from a legislative perspective. The first is the Digital Services Act, passed by the EU at the end of last year, and they've already launched investigations against several of the platforms. And in Ireland, we've passed the Online Safety and Media Regulation Bill. I think it will make a big difference. The fines that can be imposed are very substantial.
Is the Irish government in a slightly tricky position here? Because obviously you have the European HQ of Meta here, of TikTok, Twitter. Of Twitter. You know, is it tricky for you as ministers to hold these companies' feet to the fire?
No, I don't think it is, because we're talking about children's safety. Like, we are literally talking about children's lives. And for them to have a long-term business, they need a long-term business that is not linked to children killing themselves. So the best thing that they can do is make sure that they're heavily regulated, fully transparent, that they bring in proper age verification. What I would do is move the age to 16. And I would have age.
Well, WhatsApp's just moved the age down from 16 to 13, hasn't it?
Right.
In the EU and UK. So they seem to be going the opposite direction.
Yeah, I would move it to 16. Certainly, I would say to the companies, until you can prove that you are not harming children, you're not getting access to children, right?
Do you think there's any sign that that would happen?
I don't know. I don't have a good sense for that. We've an important moment in time now where we have the evidence and we have the tools available to us. And like, that's only been the case for about 6 months. So now is the time to work together. And I think we will look back at the last 5 or 10 years in time with horror. I think we will look back and say this was the Wild West.
The digital age has ushered in a whole array of new challenges for adolescents and their parents that few could have foreseen. Governments are beginning to put protections for young people in place, but progress is slow compared with the lightning pace of technological change. All over the world, many parents feel alone, grappling with the choices they have to make for their children. But in this small town in Ireland, by coming together as a community, they seem to have found at least part of a solution. That's all from this edition of Assignment with me, Beth McLeod. To hear more from the series, go to bbcworldservice.com/assignment.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
Arbeiten bei Mainova, da steckt mehr dahinter. Wir suchen technische Fachkräfte wie Sie, die bereit sind, mit uns Großes zu bewegen. Als führender Anbieter für Energiedienstleister aus der Wirtschaftsmetropole Frankfurt bauen wir bei Mainova die Energieinfrastruktur von morgen. Wir bieten Ihnen ein attraktives Gehalt, inklusive Zusatzleistungen und vielfältige Weiterbildungsmöglichkeiten. Jetzt bewerben unter mainova.de/karriere.
What stories would you like to share with your daughter? What does she need to know to help her navigate her life ahead? Dear Daughter is the award-winning podcast from the BBC World Service, full of thoughtful letters of advice, personal stories, and life lessons for daughters everywhere. You can catch up with the whole series now by searching for Dear Daughter wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Dear Daughter.